Mini-episode 1944 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini-episode 1944 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with our preview of the biggest pro wrestling show of the year, AEW All In. Of course, WrestleMania 42 was on a bigger scale, but that one is branded as sports entertainment, and it is possible that the attendance for All In may surpass either night of the underachieving Mania or at least SummerSlam. Here's our top five notes of interest about the show from Wembley Stadium on August 30th at 1 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view. Number 5, it's the latest incarnation of one of the most unique events in pro wrestling history. Back in the dark days of 2018, when WWE Creative was at rock bottom and there were no pro wrestling promotions on a large scale in the U.S., the group of pro wrestlers known as the Elite, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, promoted All In 2018 to win a bet with legendary pro wrestling journalist Dave Meltzer that they could top 10,000 in ticket sales with an independent event. All In not only did that, but it served as proof of concept to billionaire pro wrestling fan Tony Khan, who months later signed these wrestlers as part of the core of All Elite Wrestling, which launched in 2019. The rights to All In were owned by Ring of Honor Wrestling, which the Elite left behind when they signed with AEW, so the biggest shows of the first few years of AEW went under the banner of All Out. And then, in 2023, after his purchase of ROH, Tony Khan announced the return of All In, which was promoted as a gigantic outdoor show at Wembley Stadium in 2023 and 2024. Last year, it came to the Metroplex area, which is best known in wrestling lore as the home of the legendary Von Erichs in the 1980s, but it's back in London this year, pegged again to the UK bank holiday weekend. Number 4. It's definitely the centerpiece of the AEW year in the way that WrestleMania centers the WWE calendar. The Owen Hart Foundation Memorial Cup determines the main event competitors for the men's and women's world titles, so the build goes back to the beginning of summer. Now, in the immediate lead-up to the show, a second tournament has been added, which will carry with it a cup and the Continental Championship, similar to the Continental Classic, which is held from the end of November to the end of December. This event, the Continental Challenge Cup, differs in terms of not being a round-robin competition in the style of the Continental Classic and the G1 Climax in New Japan. This cup is a 16-man tournament with an ostensible blind draw in each round. The 14 wrestlers who don't make the cut will hopefully, in some part, end up in the Casino Battle Royal for a future world title shot because the tourney field was loaded with talent who should be on this show in some fashion. Number 3, we often say that the strength of a card can be measured in the quantity and quality of matches that could be plausible semi-main events, and All In delivers in that manner, on par with last year's fantastic card. World champion Kenny Omega renews his rivalry with his fellow New Japan export Will Ospreay in what has been a year-long wait for the challenger, a native Brit who broke his neck last summer. After a truncated babyface versus babyface respect build, the promotion abruptly flipped the script on the August 19th Dynamite as Omega turned viciously on the younger wrestler, setting the stage for Wembley to be absolutely on fire for the local hero. The women's title match could arguably command co-main event status, and as we've said before, we're usually loath to say that a card could conceivably have two main events because it sounds like typical pro wrestling hype. But the latest chapter of world champion Willow Nightingale against Mercedes Moné could well lay claim to that status. Willow is the ultimate white meat babyface, and Mercedes, although capable of being a badass face, has thrived in the role of callous, self-absorbed heel, and these two really bring out the best in each other. It is possible, though, that Tony Khan, the best booker of this decade by a country mile, may have booked himself into a corner with this one. Willow just had her huge, long-awaited ascension to the top a month ago, and Mercedes already took the L on this stage a year ago in a dream match against the now sidelined timeless Toni Storm. TK ended a strong run on top by Tekla to make room for this match, so it's hard to see how one of these two stars doesn't come out of this one shorthanded going forward. There's gold on the line in all four of the other plausible semi-main events. The breakout star of 2026, Kevin Knight, defends the TNT title in a Falls Count Anywhere match against the best counterpart that he could want on a stage like this, the one and only Darby Allin. Knight has thrived with the Don Callis family, learning quickly how to become one of the most hated wrestlers in the business at the same time that he's one of the most entertaining. An incredibly difficult balance. It's an intergenerational dream match when Adam Copeland and Christian Cage defend the AEW World Tag Team titles against the Young Bucks. The amazing rivalry of international champion Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita continues with the interjection of Takeshita's greatest rival and Fletcher's teammate in the Don Callis family, the legendary Kazuchika Okada, in what will be a three-way match for the ages. The two younger men are on a short list of the fastest rising superstars in the world, wrestlers who might already be the world champions were AEW not so impossibly deep, and Okada is one of the greatest of all time. And in the finals of the Continental Challenge Cup, it's the Continental champion Jon Moxley going up against one of the greatest what-if stories of the 21st century, the UK's own Nigel McGuinness. Now an AEW announcer, McGuinness was a world champion and one of the best wrestlers in ROH in the 2000s before injuries cut his career short. Nigel has come back for a couple of huge matches here and there, but a one-on-one clash at Wembley would go a long way towards completing a happy coda at the end of his quasi-comeback run. Number 2. Even once you get past the top of the card, there's fantastic intrigue and action attached to the other matches. The men's casino gauntlet match for a future world title shot should accommodate a decent number of wrestlers on this impossibly deep roster, and we know that it is starting off with MJF, now doing a lame real world champion gimmick, and the AEW national champion, the man with the incredibly revived career in 2026, Andrade El Idolo. The match ends whenever there is a pinfall, so hopefully that won't be before we see a nice cross-section of talent out there. Wrestlers who don't end up in the gauntlet may see themselves in the trio's title match, which looks to include many teams. Obviously, the champs will be in there, and they are the star-studded team of Hangman Adam Page, the winner of the All-In main event in 2025, Brody King, and ROH World Champion Bandido. The most recent former champions, The Demand, will be represented, and Swerve Strickland will lead a combo that is expected to include the team formerly known as The New Day in the Fed, and the dominant Women's World Tag Team Champions, Divine Dominion, put their gold on the line against local heroes Alex Windsor and Jamie Hayter, the Brawling Birds. And wait, last-minute addition here, a seven-way match for the AEW TBS Championship. Number 1, All In should build on what has been one of the stronger years in AEW history. We said before last year's event that AEW's long-awaited comeback could be solidified by the show. It was. The promotion's hottest period lasted for almost a year in the post-pandemic era, from late summer 2021 to late summer 2022. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and Adam Cole came in at the outset of that period, and Danielson headlined the first New York Grand Slam show at a sold-out Arthur Ashe Stadium shortly thereafter against the man who was also on top at that time, Kenny Omega. But ill-timed injuries and mounting backstage tensions between Punk and the Elite cooled off the promotion vociferously. Punk's firing in the fall of 2023 finally lanced the wound, but the promotion still struggled to regain its footing, implementing ill-considered storylines with the Elite and the Death Riders that saw those heels playing into Punk's criticisms of the promotion. Hangman's cathartic world title win on this stage a year ago indicated that AEW had finally put its problems behind itself, and head honcho Tony Khan grew thicker skin in his role as hype man, which kept it out of counterproductive tribalism dynamics. This year, Ospreay's ascension to the top should provide a similar moment, and the rest of the card should provide both the best pro wrestling card of the year and also a calling card for what the promotion will be capable of through the end of the decade and beyond. We cannot wait for the big day. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.